the attack, including law enforcement suicides. More than 1,300 arrests have been made and nearly 1,000 convictions secured, some for seditious conspiracy. Some rioters have been held before trial. Donald Trump was impeached for inciting an insurrection, but acquitted when enough Senate Republicans stayed loyal to him. Now the presumptive Republican presidential nominee, Trump has called 6 of January prisoners hostages and unbelievable patriots. Promoted a rendition of the national anthem performed in a Washington jail and said that if re-elected, he will free the January 6 hostages being wrongfully imprisoned. Recently, the Kennedy campaign ran into a media firestorm when a fundraising email referred to 6 of January activists sitting in a Washington, D.C. jail cell stripped of their constitutional liberties and compared them to Edward Snowden, the National Security Agency whistleblower who lives in exile in Russia, and to Julian Assange, the WikiLeaks founder held in a British prison while the U.S. seeks his extradition. Amid uproar, a Kennedy spokesperson said that statement was an error that does not reflect Kennedy's views. It was inserted by a new marketing contractor and slipped through the normal approval process. But on Friday, 5th of April, Robert Kennedy indicated that he does think some January 6 prisoners might be activists wrongly imprisoned. He said, 6th of January is one of the most polarizing topics on the political landscape. I am listening to people of diverse viewpoints on it in order to make sense of the event and what followed. I want to hear every side of this. He noted, it is quite clear that many of the 6th of January protesters broke the law in what may have started as a protest but turned into a riot. Because it happened with the encouragement of President Trump, and in the context of his delusion that the election was stolen from him, many people see it not as a riot, but as an insurrection. Robert Kennedy added, I have not examined the evidence in detail, but reasonable people, including Trump opponents, tell me there is little evidence of a true insurrection. They observed that the protesters carried no weapons, had no plans or ability to seize the reins of government, and that Donald Trump himself had urged them to protest peacefully. The British newspaper The Independent has also covered the same story and tells us more. That statement was in accordance with others collected by NBC News in which Robert Kennedy has questioned or dismissed the severity of events on 6th of January 2021. Furthermore, the House committee that investigated January 6th detailed how protesters did carry weapons, some armed with guns, how Donald Trump whipped up the crowd before belatedly appealing for calm, and how the riot followed lengthy attempts to find a legalistic way to keep Trump in power. Robert Kennedy continued, like many reasonable Americans, I'm concerned about the possibility that political objections motivated the vigor of the prosecution of the 6th of January defendants, their long sentences, and their harsh treatment. Echoing claims by Donald Trump and Republicans in Congress, he said, that would fit a disturbing pattern of the weaponization of government agencies against political opponents. One can, as I do, oppose Donald Trump and all he stands for and still be disturbed by the weaponization of government against him. Robert Kennedy polls in double figures, has attracted millions of dollars in donations, has named a running mate, Nicole Shanahan, as an attorney, and is seeking ballot access in key states. But he remains most likely to act as a spoiler this November, siphoning off votes from both candidates, but many observers think doing more damage to Joe Biden. In his Friday, 5th of April statement, Robert Kennedy claimed to be following the example of the second U.S. President, John Adams, a staunch patriot who in 1770 took on an unpopular task, defending the British soldiers involved in the Boston Massacre. Robert Kennedy also said Democrats as well as Republicans were using 6th of January to pour fuel on the fire of America's divisions, and charged both parties with demonizing opponents as apocalyptic threats to democracy. However, many observers view Robert Kennedy himself as a threat to US democracy. On Friday, 5th of April, before Kennedy issued his statement about 6th of January, Rana Epting of Move On, a progressive advocacy group, and Matthew Bennett of Third Way, a centre-left group, described to reporters plans to switch from campaigning against No Labels, the centrist group that dropped out of the presidential race recently, to targeting Robert Kennedy and his campaign. Epting said, "I want to be clear, Robert Kennedy Jr.'s ill-fated run for the presidency is helping put Donald Trump back in the White House, and we're going to work to stop that. Just as we organize against No Labels, we're going to organize against Robert Kennedy Jr. We're going to let folks know we can't win, but he can help Donald Trump win." A spokesperson for the independent U.S. presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said a passage in the fundraising email that called 6th of January prisoners activists stripped of their constitutional liberties was the result of an error by an outside contractor. The spokesperson, Stephanie Spear, told NBC News, which first reported the fundraising email, that statement was an error that does not reflect Robert Kennedy's views. She added, "It was inserted by a new marketing contractor and slipped through the normal approval process. The email sent by Team Kennedy asked for help, calling out the illiberal actions of our very own government." It also said, "This is the reality that every American citizen faces, from Edward Snowden to Julian Assange, to the January 6th activists sitting in a Washington, D.C. jail, stripped of their constitutional liberties." Edward Snowden, who leaked information about National Security Agency surveillance to media outlets like The Guardian, has lived in Russia for 10 years. Julian Assange founded WikiLeaks, which leaked US national security information also to media outlets including The Guardian. Jailed in Britain since April of 2019, Assange is fighting extradition to the United States. An attorney by training, Robert Kennedy, 70 years old, is the son of U.S. Attorney General Robert F. Kennedy and nephew of a former president, John F. Kennedy. Though his independent campaign is unlikely to win the White House, he has polled strongly.
Stories from the past. Stories from the lives of the infallibles. Stories from different parts of the world. On the Lantern.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Salamun alaikum. On the continuation of this program, Lantern, we have a nice story today. Our story entitled, The Sacrifice. When the idol worshippers of Mecca found out the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and his pure progeny was preaching against their idol worship, they became very angry. They made a plot to kill the Prophet. Allah informed Prophet Muhammad about the idol worshippers' plans and told him to migrate with the Muslims to Medina. This migration is called Hijrah. The night that the Prophet Muhammad left for Medina, 40 men from different tribes had gathered around his house to kill him. The Prophet asked Imam Ali, peace be upon him, if he would sleep in his bed so that the idol worshippers outside would think that the Prophet was still there. The Imam smiled and was very happy and eager to do this because he knew that the life of the Prophet would be saved by his action. In fact, the Imam used to say later that the best sleep he had ever had was on that night. Allah informed the angels, "On the earth tonight, one brother is willing to give up his life for the safety of his brother. Go down and protect him." At dawn time, the killers rushed into the Prophet's house and pulled off the blanket from the blessed Imam. They were amazed to see Imam Ali there, and so they left in shock and anger. Allah liked this action of the Imam so much that he revealed this verse in the Holy Quran. "And among men is he who sells his soul to seek the pleasure of Allah. And Allah loves such servants." Chapter Baqarah, verse 207. From this action of Imam Ali, peace be upon him, we learn when you do something purely, I mean for the sake of Allah and Islam, then Allah helps you for your selfless acts and also bless you for the things you desire. Everyone can plan, but only what Allah plans will happen and will succeed. Imam Ali loved the Prophet Muhammad so much for the sake of Allah and his authority with him that he would put his own life in danger to protect him.
We seek refuge from Satan the cursed in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, dear audience. Welcome to a new episode of Lantern from IRB English Radio. This is Zainab Musavi, and what we do in this program is to talk about several religious stories and then try to expound on some of the points that we can make out of them and make use of these points in our daily lives as Muslims. Well, the story we just listened to concerns the great bravery of Imam Ali alayhi salam when he slept instead of Prophet Muhammad in his bed so that the enemies would mistakenly think that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sleeping and not leaving his house. Well, Imam Ali alayhi salam considered himself as one of the servants of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even though after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself was the best of God's creations. This special privilege for Imam Ali alayhi salam is due to his special devotion and sincere service to God. This servitude, in my opinion, caused Imam Ali alayhi salam to reach a special rank before God. This is regardless of the light creation during which, after the light of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, God created the light of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Imam Ali is sleeping in the bed of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at that horrible night is a prominent example of his real life for the right and honest adoration of the truth. The motivation behind the volunteering for this dangerous mission was nothing except Ali's love for the continuity of Islam that guarantees the society's happiness and ensures lives, prosperity and nothing else. Well, let's go for a short break and we will be back very soon.
Under the light of lantern, we look at the story which indicates a moral aspects of our life.
Welcome back, dear audience. The sacrifice of Imam Ali alayhi salam that we talked about and devotion have a great value to the extent that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praises the sacrifice of Imam Ali alayhi salam in his holy book and describes it as being an honest sacrifice to get God's satisfaction. The greatness of the virtue and the importance of this great sacrifice act prompted the great scholars of Islam to consider it one of the greatest virtues of Imam Ali alayhi salam and to describe Imam Ali alayhi salam with redemption, self-sacrifice, altruism, and to take for granted the revelation of the aforementioned verse in his regard as the hadith reached in interpretation and history about it. The fact is never forgotten. It is possible to hide the face of reality from some time, but the bright rays of truth quickly tear the veils of illusion, and the sun of truth emerges from behind the clouds. Muawiyah's hostility to the Prophet's family, and especially to the commander of the faithful, alayhi salam, cannot be discussed. This tyrant, through the covetousness of some of the companions of the Prophet wasalam, wanted to defile the glossy pages of history and hide its truth through lies, but he did not achieve success in this way. But the truth cannot be hidden by such flimsy veils, nor can it be forgotten by such weak attempts. The government of Muawiyah, with its people and supporters, were exposed to accidents. The traces of fabrication that occurred during his disasters have disappeared, and the sun of truth and reality has risen from behind the veil of ignorance and slander once again. And most of the distinguished explainers and the virtuous modernists in different ages and periods have admitted that the related verses of the Holy Book of Quran were revealing the night of Ali's sleeping in Prophet's bed, or what we call as Laylatul Mabit, and Imam Ali's sacrifice of himself for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Okay, dear listeners, it seems that we have no more time for this episode. I hope that you have enjoyed this episode of Lantern, and until another one, I bid you farewell, and may Allah protect you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
And talking about the virtues of Imam Ali alayhi salam is Imamul Afin, Imam Ali, the Imam of the forgivers, those who forgive.
Yes, he was the first Imam, he was the first successor of Rasulullah, but he shares also many other firsts in the history of not only Islam, but also of the world of creation.
Imam Ali ruled with justice and treated all of the people of the society as equals, regardless of their fame or position.
Rasulullah himself told us where he addressed Ali, he says, Ya Ali, he says, nobody will ever come to know the true nature or who Allah is except for you and I. And nobody will ever know the true nature of Rasulullah, as the Prophet himself said, except for two, Allah and Ali. And then Rasulullah says that none will ever know you, Ali, except for two individuals, myself being Rasulullah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
We are inshallah loving Imam Ali and Ahlul Bayt and trying to follow their footsteps to expand our holy.
That was all for today. Thank you very much for joining us. Inshallah, we continue this topic on the next episode. Till then, may Allah bless all of you. Fi amanillah.
And I'm بذكر الله تطمئن القلوب.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program.
A window to Palestine.
Soy Daniel Jadwe.
I am Daniel Jadwe, a citizen of Chile, originally from Palestine, born like so many other Palestinians around the world in the diaspora. Chile has one of the largest communities outside the Arab world. It is said that we are close to 300,000, but we are millions spread across the face of the earth, far from our homeland, but committed to the identity, history, and struggle of our people, of our land, which is and will forever be Palestine. Hello and welcome to the program. Today we are witnessing a genocide in Palestine, but this did not start on October the 7th. It is part of a plan that was born more than 125 years ago with a perfectly studied and planned colonization process. Today we will talk about how Palestine has been changed and how the occupation has changed the life of this territory and the entire area that surrounds it. Let's analyze and have a deeper look into this issue.
Efectivamente, hace más de 100 años comenzaron a llegar.
Indeed, more than 100 years ago, they began to arrive as victims of the pogroms of Tsarist Russia, and years later, the Nazi Holocaust. But shortly after they were received with open arms of solidarity with their pain, they began to show their true face, to expropriate the Palestinians, to destroy their villages, to destroy their ancient olive plantations, to keep absolutely everything, destroying schools and houses and any vestige of the territory's history. Let's see below the following report by our correspondent in Gaza, Huda Hejazi.
Before the aggression on the Gaza Strip on October 7th, the Israeli cabinet had approved new plans to build thousands of homes in illegal settlements in the occupied West Bank. According to international law, the construction of these settlements is illegal and constitutes an obstacle to peace. However, this decision occurred amid an increase in violence by settlers and the occupation army in the Palestinian territories, and this was one of the reasons that caused the Operation Al-Aqsa flood to break out.
The construction of Israeli settlements in the Palestinian territories and in occupied Jerusalem Al-Quds is an illegal, illegitimate act and condemnable. Under no circumstances can the permanence of these settlements be supported, since they do not agree with the norms of international law in general. The only solution is to put an end to these settlements.
According to Palestinian sources, this Israeli war has been one of the most brutal in history, which has caused the destruction of more than 70% of the structures in the Gaza Strip. Given this, the Israeli minister, Itamar Ben-Gvir, assured that the massacre in Gaza is an opportunity to develop a project that will encourage Gazan residents to immigrate to other countries in the world. This is in addition to the solution proposed by the Minister of Finance, Bezalel Smotrich, which encourages the voluntary immigration of the citizens of Gaza and in fact depopulate the area of Palestinians.
They're trying to bomb all the places, displace people by force. They say that this is a voluntary displacement, but in reality it is not. The displacement is due to the crimes of the occupation, the deliberate and systematic bombing of civilians. They even bomb areas where the displaced people live. This is a forced displacement of citizens under armed pressure, including planes and tanks, as well as a psychological and media impact with a war waged against the Palestinian people.
The reports released by the UN indicate a very significant increase in violent incursions by Israeli settlers in the West Bank cities since October 7th. This has caused the death of a record number of Palestinians. This is also considered an integral part of the Zionist plan that seeks to completely dispossess Palestinians of their land.
The attack on Palestinian citizens in the cities of the West Bank, Jerusalem, Al-Quds, or even inside occupied Palestine is considered a crime in every sense. This is a political cost for Netanyahu's cabinet, along with Ben-Gvir and Smotrich. They have decided to give the settlers the green light to do whatever they want with the objectives of invading and the Judaization that the settlers are carrying out, including the raids on the Al-Aqsa Mosque. This is actually one of the reasons that led to the outbreak of the Operation Al-Aqsa Flood. Therefore, the cost for the cabinet of Netanyahu, who is now appeasing the settlers after giving them the green light, is very high.
There are a large number of Gazans who have decided to stay in their homes and not go out despite the great danger to their lives. However, they have decided to resist and not allow a second Nakba to take place. This is another act of resistance by the Palestinian population. It is to continue showing the world the crimes committed by the Israeli regime. A large number of journalists and media workers have been murdered for the simple fact of being eyes of the truth and reporting Israel's actions.
The way to confront this occupation is to stay alive and rebuild any place that is being destroyed. Today, every Palestinian citizen who has a mobile phone is now able to broadcast through social media and expose this occupation by spreading the truth about everything. The painful truth is that in the past month, we've seen that journalists are being attacked because they wanted to show the true image of the occupation. They've also become a target for exposing the crimes of the occupation in front of the Arab and international community.
Despite the constant crimes committed by the Israeli regime in Gaza and other Palestinian territories, the world continues to fold its arms and do nothing to stop this massacre. For 75 years, Palestinians have lived under Israeli occupation. During all these decades, it has been carrying out the most atrocious crimes against the Palestinian population. Now, again in the 21st century, and in the face of silence from the international community, the Zionists seek to expel the Gazans from their territories to take control of the rest of Palestine. Huda Hejazi, Gaza, Palestine.
The current inhabitants of the Gaza Strip, depending on their age, have been forcibly displaced between 1 and 3 times over the last 75 years. It all began in 1897 at the first Zionist Congress in Basel, Switzerland, when Theodor Herzl presented to a tiny part of the world Jewry their project to rebuild the regime of Israel from the Nile to Euphrates, the founding myth of being part of the chosen people and this being the promised land. We thank our correspondent in Gaza, Huda Hijazi, and I invite you to stay tuned because in the next section we will be talking with a very special guest.
Estaremos conversando con una invitada muy especial.
Well, we are back, and in this section we're going to talk with Silvana Rabinovich, who is a researcher at the Philological Research Institute of the National Autonomous University of Mexico.
Gracias, Silvana, por haber aceptado esta invitación.
Thank you, Silvana, for accepting this welcome invitation. I want to ask you a question that many are asking in the current context with this ongoing genocide. At what point in this historical development of the Zionist project are we, and how far do they intend to go?
Well, first of all, I really appreciate the invitation. I'm very honored. Well, I want to mention points about the colonial and national colonial political theology of Israel. I think that from that point of view, we've reached the moment when the last apocalyptic mooring is loose. And when we talk about the Zionist project, I think we have to also take into account Christian Zionism, which is very interested in this apocalypse for the second coming of Christ. And well, I believe that there is no return to this. There was already genocide in progress there, but now we're witness to an accelerated genocide. It's been unleashed. And I'm surprised by the reception it has among the Israeli population, even those that claim to be progressive, and even among former conscientious objectors who today have decided, at age 40 and a half, for example, to enroll in this massacre, this genocide. That is extremely worrying because it's an attitude that was growing and deepening. And in this case, there really was no difference between the different administrations in Israel, whether those assumed to be left-wing, which can be discussed, or those on the right regarding the settlements. We're, of course, focused on Gaza, which is something atrocious, and it is difficult to understand why the entire world does not rise up against the genocide there. Well, some governments around the world, or rather nations, have taken actions. In other words, the siege that surprised the Israelis on October 7th is being constantly documented. That, of course, it is very scary that they will take you out of bed and arrest you. But it happens. As Haggai Matar, the director of Plus 92 magazine, said, it happens every day there. Just one letter signed by 669 Israelis in support of South Africa's claim before the International Court of Justice is all that was achieved from the entire population, considering even those who did not vote for this administration, those who took to the streets to protest against Netanyahu. That really catches my attention. They hid themselves under the cloak of what that assures them of collective suicide with what they consider the enemy.
After the first Zionist Congress in 1897, there was talk of Israel from the Nile to the Euphrates. In 1948, they accepted, of course, the partition of Palestine, but declared that it was a first step. Then in 1967, in the misnamed Six-Day War, they occupied the entire Palestinian territory and some areas of the Syrian Golan Heights and Lebanon, in where the Zionist project is going.
¿Dónde para el proyecto sionista?
Let's see, the Zionist project. It goes back a little bit to history, because from the first Zionist Congress to the ones that followed, there was a lot of discussion there. And there were voices that did not agree at all with this form of foreign colonialism in the region and typically European version, nor with the fact of considering the original inhabitants of the land as enemies. I mean, in 2006, I translated Martin Buber's political text, and there was a whole movement, a movement that was against it. Let's see, in 1946, when the Anglo-American Commission went to Palestine to see if the land was actually divided or not, which was carried out on November the 29th, 1947, they disobeyed the leadership of the Jewish population of Palestine. Martin Buber, Yehuda Magnus, and Moshe Slimansky. They all arrived and convinced the Anglo-American Commission that the land should not be divided, that there should be neither one nor two national states, but a confederation of autonomous communities from the part of Greater Syria. So within the Zionist movements, there were also these positions which were all the time denouncing the demographic and expansionist ideas as deeply contradictory with the love of the land, with the possibilities of coexistence that existed. However, well, we see now that not a bit of that remains. That was present until 1948, and all the years that Martin Buber was still alive, Martin Buber continued fighting to protect, to protest the properties, the rights of the Palestinian population. Of course, he died in 1965. He no longer saw 1967. He did not see all that expansionist fever, absolutely foreign to the culture of the region. I would also like to point to the time of the secularization of the Hebrew language. Yehuda proposed and practiced this secularization of the language, which was much discussed due to the connotations it later had, which we are seeing now in its worst moment and in its worst version. He said that the words that had to be completed from so many countries, that the Hebrew language had to be confined to the ritual religious sphere, had to be completed from Arabic, which was the closest language, the most sisterly, and the one of the place. But well, the Zionist leadership is doubly Eurocentric. It is Eurocentric in Central Europe, and it used the Jews of Arab countries as human shields to carry out this project, which, as Theodor Herzl, the founder of Zionism, said, had to have its function be the retaining wall that prevents Eastern barbarism from entering Europe. And well, this is what we're seeing now, and it is in its worst phase, of course.
Thank you, Silvana. Now I'm going to give way to the audience. They have two questions they want to ask you. Please.
Por favor.
Hola, mi nombre es Janigeria.
Hello, my name is Jangeria. I am a philosophy professor, also of Palestinian descent in Chile. I wanted to ask you the following question. I wanted to know what you think about the biblical names that the Israelis use for both the use of weapons and also the military campaigns that they carry out, precisely in a land that we know has that connotation.
Gracias, Hani. Eso es justamente el tema que yo más trabajo.
Thanks. That is precisely the topic that I work on the most. I mean, the abusive ways in which the biblical text and biblical figures are used to name these campaigns, weapons. And well, it has a purpose that Netanyahu recently reminded us of when he spoke of Amalek, which is that people who must be exterminated, according to God, for having abused the weakest at the exit from Egypt. Something that one says now. Well, the one who is playing the role of Amalek is the Netanyahu administration, and not the people of Gaza whom he's trying to annihilate. This happens in Rafael Industries. What's happening? From the name Rafael, since it is actually an acronym to each of the names of the campaign. I've detailed this in my book, The Drone Bible, about such abuses and the abuses of biblical figures in Israel's political discourse. I believe that in the Bible, there are two sources. One is monarchical and the other one is prophetic. The prophetic sets limit to the monarchic. Obviously, the one that prevails is the monarchic in a European sovereignist version. And what it seems to me is that the Bible is needed precisely to evoke the limiting forces that the prophetic sources set.
The limit que ponía la fuente profética.
Hola.
Hello, my name is Carmen Mendoza. I am an international journalist, and I would like to know who are the settlers, where do they come from, and what role have they played and are playing in the occupation of Palestine?
Gracias por la pregunta, Carmen. A ver, los colonos.
Thanks for the question, Carmen. Let's see. The settlers, many of them are Zionist immigrants, very convinced of this expansionist vision that Daniel described at the beginning. They tend to come from the United States and France and also other places. There are, of course, Israelis born there, of course, but it is striking how there are people who have immigrated to occupy the land, to radically carry out this ethnic cleansing to the point of genocide, and which is also manifested in the siege. There are Israeli organizations that seek to protect the settlers, especially Area C. But the truth is that Area A, similar to Area B and Area C, are constantly besieged by the army. On June the 8th, 50 armored cars poured into Ramallah just to destroy the apartment of someone who was there in jail in Israel in Area A. So this form of presence is what they call showing presence. It makes the settlers feel completely free to commit all kinds of crimes. Even the last administration has greatly encouraged them to be armed with heavy weapons. Even teenagers who go to school armed with heavy weapons. So let's say there is a debasement, a civil debasement at the beginning. Now, deepening of this debasement is enormous, and they are very convinced settlers and young people. I went to the Jordan Valley accompanying a group of Israeli retirees who defend the shepherds so that they can graze. What happened was that two young boys of about 16 years old went down with their cows to destroy the wheat fields with their tiny tractors to scare the sheep. In other words, there is a siege. There is a constant siege, and there are, of course, young people born there, but also very right-wing, as well as convinced Zionists who emigrate to precisely what they call badly, very badly, Judaize the land. This is what we see in the Jerusalem area, the Greater Jerusalem Project, right? But we shouldn't also forget about what's happening in the worst of the lowest in Hebron, which is Al-Khalil.
La peor de las más bajas en Hebron, que es Al-Khalil.
Muchas gracias, Silvana.
Thank you very much, Silvana, for accepting our invitation. What you say is absolutely true. Here in Chile, there is a Hebrew Institute that in one of its last years makes study trips to the occupied territories, and there they do a course of almost a week called Gutsna, where they teach Chilean citizens how to use weapons wearing Israeli army uniform. And that, incredibly, is legal. I thank you very much for your participation, and let's take a break.
Y vamos a una pausa, ya regresamos.
Dear listeners, that was the first part of A Window to Palestine. You can listen to the second part tomorrow.
بسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآنك
Let's recite the Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد وعجل فرج
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله Dear brothers and sisters from all over the world listening to IRB English Radio right now Welcome to Let's Recite the Quran in Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. I'm really glad to have Brother Hussein, Ruhullah, Hassan Nasrullah, and Ali Nasir with me. Assalamu alaikum, brothers, and welcome everyone. Ali Nasir, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, sir. Great.
Alhamdulillah. And Hassan, how are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, sir.
Alhamdulillah. And Hussein?
Alhamdulillah.
Fine. All yes. right. Inshallah, we will talk about Ayah 75 and Ayah 76. today. Surah Al-A'raf on page
160.
Surah Al-A'raf, page 160, ayah 75 and ayah 76. So, first and foremost, what if we listen to a recitation?
Yes.
Agree?
Yeah.
Let's listen.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. قال الملأ الذين استكبروا من قومه للذين استضعفوا لمن آمن منهم أتعلمون أن صالحا مرسل من ربه قالوا إنا بما أرسل به مؤمنون قال الذين استكبروا إنا بالذي آمنتم به كافرون.
Very good. Nice recitation. MashaAllah, MashaAllah. So, I will read it once, read these two verses once, and inshallah I will ask one of our brothers to recite it once. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. In the previous verses, Allah Almighty talked about Prophet Salih alayhi salam and his people, and this ayah also continues the story of Prophet Salih alayhi salam. قال الملأ الذين استكبروا من قومه. The elite of his people, the people of Prophet Salih alayhi salam, who were arrogant, they said, لِلَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا, to those who were abased. I mean, استكبروا, I mean those people who were arrogant and they had power, they said to the people who were under their control, okay? Yeah?
Yes.
To the, like, normal people. لِمَنْ آمَنَ مِنْهُمْ, to those among them who had faith, those who were followers of Prophet. So it means that the arrogant people told those who were the followers of Prophet Salih alayhi salam, أَتَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّ صَالِحًا مُرْسَلًا مِنْ رَبِّهِ, do you know that Salih has been sent by his Lord? Then the people who believed in Prophet Salih alayhi salam, they said, قَالُوا, they said, إِنَّا بِمَا أُرْسِلَ بِهِ مُؤْمِنُونَ. Of course, we indeed believe in what he has been sent with. Then the arrogant people, they said, قَالَ الَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا, those who were arrogant said, إِنَّا بِالَّذِي آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ كَافِرُونَ, we indeed disbelieve in what you have believed. Of course, you disbelieve because it's not for your benefit. Huh? Believing in him because he will stop you from doing crimes, he will stop you from being arrogant, yes?
Yes.
That's why you disbelieve. So, always in the communities and the societies, okay, there has been people who are arrogant, and since religion, okay, does not let people commit crime, does not let arrogant people live in the society, that's why those who are arrogant, they do not see religion for their benefit, that's why they stand against it. So there are a lot of other discussions on this. You can refer to the Tafasir books for more about these two verses. Inshallah, we will mention some of the tajweed points related to these verses and important to pay attention to. Alright, so, قَالَ الْمَلَأُ الَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا. Brother Ali Nasir, can you please recite these ayah ones? قَالَ الْمَلَأُ الَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا.
Yes. أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قال الملأ الذين استكبروا من قومه للذين استضعفوا لمن آمن منهم أتعلمون أن صالحا مرسل من ربه.
مرسل has another meaning. مرسل has another meaning. مرسل is someone who sends someone else or something. Mursal is someone who is sent. Okay, for example, Allah is Mursil. Mursal is prophets.
Yes.
Yeah, Prophet Salih is Mursal. Allah is Mursil. Allah sends him. He is sent.
Yes.
Alright?
Yeah.
Good. For example, you say, I eat food. Food is eaten. Different, yes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good. Move on. I mean, passive sentences and active sentences. Yeah, you know in English grammar. So, move on.
قَالُوا إِنَّا بِمَا أُرْسِلَ بِهِ مُؤْمِنِينَ
مؤمنون. مؤمنين has another meaning. مؤمنون, they both mean believers, okay? But in sentences, they have different positions, okay? Inna bima ursila bihi mu'minun. Mu'minun means we believe it comes. So, you have to read it mu'minun.
Yep. Yes.
Go on, read it again. Qalu inna bima ursila bihi.
Qalu inna bima ursila bihi mu'minun.
Ahsantum.
Hadha al-Qur'an yuwahhiduna li tariqil khayr yuwajjihuna. الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا هذا القرآن.
Want to learn Quran at home? Join us in our Quranic class. Let's recite the Quran.
الله تعالى أنزله ورسول الله معلمنا ورسول الله معلمنا.
The next ayah as well. قال الذين استكبروا
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال الذين استكبروا إنا بالذي آمنتم به كافرون.
أحسنتم. Thank you so much. Thank you. So, قال الملأ الذين استكبروا من قومه. One point which is important here is the letter Nun Sakin. After the Nun Sakin, you have the letter Qaf. Min Qawmihi. What do you do with this Nun Sakin? We have four important rules about Nun Sakin.
Yeah, there's Ikhfa.
Ikhfa, you hide the sound of Nun. Good job. Min Qawmihi. Make sure you have heavy letter right after it. مِنْ قَوْمِهِ. Not مِنْ قَوْمِهِ, no. مِنْ قَوْمِهِ لِلَّذِينَ اسْتُضْعِفُوا لِمَنْ آمَنَ. لِمَنْ آمَنَ, the rule? Huh?
لِمَنْ آمَنَ.
لِمَنْ آمَنَ. What rule is applied here? لِمَنْ آمَنَ. إِظْهَار.
Yes.
إِظْهَار. You clearly pronounce the sound. No, ساكن, yeah. But here you should pronounce it. لِمَنْ آمَنَ. Not you don't hide. لِمَنْ آمَنَ, don't hide. لِمَنْ آمَنَ مِنْهُمْ. مِنْهُمْ the same. أَتَعْلَمُونَ أَنَّ. Make sure نُن ساكين and also, sorry, نُن مُشَدَّد and also sometimes مِن مُشَدَّد. Yes, you extend the sound.
Yeah,
with amazing sound. ثُمَّ أَنَّ صَالِحًا مُرْسَلٌ مِنْ رَبِّهِ. So the rule idgham is applied here. صَالِحًا idgham. Merge them. مُرْسَلٌ, merge them. And مِنْ رَبِّهِ, also merge them. Am I right, Hussein?
Yes.
Yes? So, what does that jim tell us, Hassan? You're so good at
yes.
teaching us the stopping signs.
Jim says that Jim's allow you to stop.
Allows us to stop. Good job. To make a pause. So, قَالُوا إِنَّا بِمَا. The mad are not wajib in these two words. Of course, they are jais. Since the alif mad and hamza are in separate words. And waw mad also. أُرْسِلَ بِهِ مُؤْمِنُونَ. قَالَ الَّذِينَ اسْتَكْبَرُوا إِنَّا بِالَّذِي آمَنْتُمْ بِهِ. Two hiding sound. آمَنْتُمْ, hide the sound of نون. تُمْ بِهِ, hide the sound of
me.
That's all. That's all. Let's recite these two verses and that will be all for this session. Everyone ready?
Yes.
Yeah, repeat after me.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
قال الملأ الذين استكبروا من قومه للذين استضعفوا لمن آمن منهم
قال الملأ الذين استكبروا من قومه للذين استضعفوا
لمن آمن منهم أتعلمون أن صالحا مرسل من ربه
لمن آمن منهم أتعلمون أن صالحا مرسل من ربه
قالوا إنا بما أرسل به مؤمنون
قالوا إنا بما أرسل به مؤمنون
قال الذين استكبروا إنا بالذي آمنتم به كافرون
قال الذين استكبروا إنا بالذي آمنتم به كافرون
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
Ahsantum. Thank you so much. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, thanks for being with us in IRB English Radio. See you next session. Stay with us. And that's all from us for today. Assalamu alaikum. Thanks to IRB English Radio, Sevier International Schools for cooperations. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi al-tahirin.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad وآل محمد وعجل فرجه
Let's recite the Quran A joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
IRIB English Radio This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Israel announces partial withdrawal of its troops from southern Gaza. The military wing of Hamas says the regime was forced